Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host, Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Erica Rummel. So, Erica, do you find the life of a writer a lonely one? Many people say it is.
Yes, very much so. It's basically me and the computer. And that's why I'm a member of the Spirit of the Hills writers group. I like to go to the meetings because I want to hear what other people have to say, what other people are doing, what kind of strategies they're using, what can I learn from them, or just to see that I'm not alone.
Yeah.
And, of course, I also have friends who will read my manuscripts, my work in progress. I'm very thankful for that. But the writing itself is still a lonely job.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm very grateful to be here, because not only is writing a lonely job, publicity is a lonely job too, because the publishers increasingly want their authors or demand from their authors to make contact with potential readers. So I'm very grateful to be here with you on air and to have an audience out there.
Right. Belonging to organizations can combat the isolation of the writer. But you've also done a lot of traveling and you've lived in so many foreign countries. How has that affected your writing?
Well, my novels do reflect what I saw when I lived in other parts of the world, in Argentina, in California, in Utah, in Eastern Europe, in Romania and Bulgaria. My first novel, Playing Naomi, is set in Los Angeles, where I spend 4 months of every year, and it lampoons Hollywood. And my latest novel, Head Games, is set in Argentina, where I lived in a tiny village for 5 years.
Yes. That was a long time to live in a tiny village.
It certainly was. Sometimes it was difficult to find reading material, so it was a good thing that I am a writer. Including, I did nightly installments of a children's story for my kids because we couldn't find anything in the English language.
Yes. Would you like to read to us from Head Games? Is that what you're going to choose
yes,
for this?
Yes, that's what I would like to do.
Tell us a little bit about it. It's been recently released by Guernica, set in Argentina. Well,
this particular scene that I'm going to read is set in a pub in Toronto, 1978. We listen in on a conversation between two men, Don and Jim, who used to work together on a project in Argentina. They haven't seen each other for some time, and Jim thinks the gap between them has widened. And it isn't just that Don is older. They have nothing much to say to each other. Don cradled his empty glass and stared into space. Suddenly, something caught his attention. He sat up and looked past Jim, smiling. Jim turned and saw that Don had his eyes on a young woman in a pink tube top. She waved and made her way to their table, doing a kind of cha-cha, mouthing the lyrics to a pop song, snapping her fingers as if she wanted to wake up the whole place. She certainly had Don's attention. "Lisa," he said, and when she arrived at their table. "You're late today." "Santos had a sidewalk sale," she said. "I stopped by." Don's face dropped. "Santos? What's he selling now? Snake oil?" Lisa patted his shoulder and said in a purry voice, "You're in a bad mood, Don. Want me to go away?" "No, I don't want you to go away," Don said, and pulled out a chair for her. "Sit down, have a drink." He did the introductions. "Lisa's parents are from Argentina," he said. It was as if he had pressed a button at the back of Lisa's head. She opened her mouth and spilled the family history, pouring out a river of words. She went at it from different angles, but all points of departure led to the same dark corner. She had never met her father. Her mother got pregnant and married another man who believed the child was his, who still thought he was Lisa's father. "But one of these days, I'll go to Argentina and look up my real father," she said, coming to the end of the story. "His name is Miguel Soriano." She mouthed the name with gusto, as if she couldn't wait to make him part of her family saga. "That's quite a story," Don said. He was ready to believe in Lisa's rogue father, but Jim had reservations. Lisa was laughing too much when she told the story. So after she left, Don said, So what do you think of Lisa? A little too intense for my taste, Jim said. Don nodded. She comes in here every day and chats up people. They all think she's crazy. But I worry about Lisa, you know. She reminds me of my daughter, Asu. Don had never mentioned a daughter before. You have a daughter, Jim said. I adopted a girl in Argentina, Don said. She was Quechua, Indian, an orphan living with her grandfather on a little farm. He treated her like property, like one of his sheep. He was willing to let her go, but for a price. At first he wanted $200 for her, but I got him down to 50. It was a fortune for a man like him. Don paused and hesitated, as if he was afraid to say more. And that was that, Jim said. $50 and she was yours? Don nodded. Now here is the part that hurts, he said. I took Asu back home with me. I sent her to a good school. I gave her every chance to have a good life. But no, just before graduation, she drops out and runs off with a gas station attendant. And that was the last I heard of her. She didn't bother to stay in touch with me. After all I've done for her. And Lisa reminds you of Asu, Jim said. Well, I can't put my finger on it, but she has the same craziness in her eyes. History repeats itself, you know. I'm afraid Lisa will make the same mistake and fall for an unsuitable type. You heard her mention Santos? A Bolivian. A drug dealer, if you ask me. I've told Lisa to stay away from him, but I really shouldn't get involved. When it comes to women, I tell myself, careful, old man. Don't look, don't talk, don't listen. He can't fool me, Jim thought. I've seen the way he looks at Lisa. He's on a mission. He wants his daughter back, but he'll take Lisa in a pinch. The next evening, Jim is back at the pub looking for Lisa. He spots her talking to a man who turns out to be Santos, the Bolivian, the drug dealer. Lisa introduces them. Jim is working in Argentina, she said to Santos. Santos gave him a blinding smile. Maybe Lisa go visit you, he said. I tell her she must go to old country. Lisa swung her bouncy mane. It's not that simple, she said, and let out the story of her mother's pregnancy and the shotgun marriage. Santos listened to her raptly. You need help of Saint, he said. You come back to my shop and we do seance. I call up Saint. He answer your question. Without warning, he bent forward, gripped Lisa's shoulders, and pressed his nose against the side of her face as if he wanted to burrow into her head. Like this, he said. He enter. He look through your eyes. He see everything. Santos's sudden lunge forward had caught the attention of the other patrons. There was a stir of interest. The owner came over and said to Santos, Can I have a word with you? Santos let go of Lisa, and the two men moved off to the end of the bar. Lisa gave Jim an anxious look. The sound of rock music seeping up from the cellar came to a thumping halt, and in the momentary silence, they heard the owner say to Santos, Get the hell out of here and stay out, or I'll call the cops on you. He escorted him to the door, discreetly keeping in step with him. Santos tapped the wall on the way out like a blind man, or like someone putting a curse on the place. At the door he stopped and looked back, flashing Lisa a dead man's grin. So Lisa has become the target of two questionable characters. Don, who may be a pedophile or maybe a pathetic old man who hits on young women, and Santos, who is either a charlatan or a visionary. And what about Jim? Will he take action when Lisa does visit Argentina and gets into serious trouble? Well, the answers are in the book, of course, but you'll have to sort through a lot of lies. That is why I called my novel Head Games.
Thank you, Erica. That's really interesting. All sorts of questions there to be answered.
Yes, that's what I was hoping.
So where can people buy your books?
They can go directly to the Guernica website. Mm-hmm. Or, of course, there is Amazon.com. But yeah. I do hope they find an independent bookshop. Yes. And patronize an independent bookshop to get it.
Does
there.
Does the Avid Reader happen, for instance?
I hope they have it at the Avid Reader. I know they have it at Curse Corner Bookstore in Campbellford. for example.
Really? Okay. So we hope that you may connect with us. And if you would like to send comments about this program or ask questions or make suggestions for who we might interview in future programs, please send your email to wordonthehills@gmail.com. And thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week.